I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Doncic pushing the pace the other way. Butler right there with him on his right hip. Doncic, step back three. No good. Rebound batted away to Lively. To the corner to Irving. He fires. Nails it. Dallas with a five-point lead. 109-104. 128 to go. Irving with 23.
Not really sure why it was necessary for us to play that.
Yeah, again. Well, I could play something else.
Yeah, I don't really know why we need to relive that moment.
I mean, it's a good call and all. The play-by-play is solid, but, you know.
No, but it's a moment I'm objecting to, certainly not the call. Jonathan Zaslav, fellow Heat fan, Jonathan Zaslav filling in for Ian Fitzsimmons tonight here on Amber and Ian. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. So on the call was our friend George Sedano, ESPN LA. And George, thanks for giving us some of your time and being so kind coming off of that abysmal performance last night, that
abysmal
ending to that game.
He played well. It was a bad finish. Played
but
well.
It was a very bad finish the way that it finished. And Luka ends up walking out of that game with his fifth consecutive 30-point triple-double. George, how ridiculous is Luka?
Yeah, it was actually his fourth 35-point triple-double, wow, which is the first time in NBA history somebody's done that. Look, he's Mozart when you watch him offensively. There's no question about that. Like, he is as gifted a player as we've seen at that position maybe ever, right? Like, I know this is going to sound blasphemous, but when you think of guys who play the point guard position, right, who have been big, whether it's Magic Johnson or if you want to classify LeBron in that, offensively, Luka is in that category with those guys. Like, he's an all-timer already. And, you know, I just think that that team needs to figure out their defense. But they had lost three in a row. They made some lineup changes. And, you know, they did a nice job in the second half, particularly against Miami, and were able to put out a victory.
George, we've been talking about this throughout the show here tonight. And if we're talking the younger generation of player, 25 and under, and of course Luka fits that bill, where does he rank as far as guys you would build your franchise around?
Ooh, he's definitely near the top. Man, I mean, SGA is probably in that category. Mm-hmm. Trying to think. The problem is the 25 and under thing, because I'm trying to remember, like, who's 25 and under.
So we had Anthony Edwards, right?
Yeah.
SGA, Luka.
Wembanyama.
And Wemby were the ones that came
Wembanyama
up the most.
Right. So, if I was thinking Luka's in that category, like, if I'm thinking of, like, a five-man group, it doesn't have to be by position, right? But Luka, Ant, Wemby, I would put Tyrese Halliburton in that conversation.
Ooh, yeah.
I think he's extraordinary to watch. And, you know, whatever. I mean, Chet Holmgren, maybe, like, one of those other guys. Like, yeah, I mean, Scottie Barnes is great, too, even though, you know, I know people don't talk about him as much because he plays in Toronto, although Darko Rajakovic made sure to let us know when he had that rant that Scottie Barnes is awesome and an all-star.
He's going to be the face of the league.
Well, he's indeed an all-star, though. He got that part right. So, yeah, I think those guys are in that conversation, those kind of five guys. And John Morant, you know, John Morant, I know he's dealt with some stuff and some injury stuff, too, on top of that, but he's in that category for sure, too.
Zion has 21 right now against the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't feel like Zion gets thrown into any of those conversations anymore,
right,
George.
You're right.
You know, but it's about availability, right? And I think that, and I know I just made the case for John Morant, but John Morant, there wasn't a ton of issues in regards to availability prior to this season. I mean, I guess he had like one stretch, I think, of like 18 or 20 games the previous year, but prior to that, like, he played a lot of their games, you know? So I think Zion could have been that face of the league guy. I think he was the guy that we all anointed, because people forget now, because it's convenient and it's been several years, but his games at Duke were must-watch television.
Yes.
I mean, that thing when he busted out of his shoe, that was one of the most viral clips we had, I think, that particular year in sports. And his first couple of games in the pros, and I know this because I was there for a bunch of them, I used to practically live in New Orleans that first year he was playing, those games were rating really well, like over 2 million every time He touched the floor and was on national television. And those are in games where there are no local blackouts. So people could still watch him in New Orleans or wherever other market they were playing. So those are really good numbers when you're doing over 2 million on a national broadcast that's not exclusive. So he could still be that guy, but he needs to start winning and needs to be available more. And I think he's started to slowly but surely do that this season.
We got George Sedano, ESPN LA, NBA on ESPN Radio here with us on Amber and Ian. I'm Jonathan Zaslow filling in for Ian tonight. George, I want to – can you think of a former number one overall pick who personal accolades and team-wise is doing as nice a job as a guy like Paolo Banchero is with the Orlando Magic, who gets talked about less? I mean, he was the number one overall pick, and his team is top four. Like, he's literally fulfilling everything that a number one overall pick should do, and no one seems to care.
Yeah, and don't forget, he was also on the most recent Team USA team and played really well, including out of position at center at times. And look, I think a lot of that, Zaslow, is mostly because Orlando has been fairly irrelevant. They've had two playoff appearances, I believe, in the last 12 or 13 years. And, you know, I was there for one of them because they played Toronto when they won the championship in the first round. Kawhi kind of took care of business pretty quickly against them. So that's part of it. When you've been somewhat irrelevant, I think that plays a big role in this. And it's funny because Orlando, very early on, as we all know, was a big part of being nationally relevant in the NBA, where there was Shaq and Penny years, they went to the finals, all that. And then since then, it just you know, completely dissipated. So I think that's part of it, but you're right. It's ridiculous. I think part of that is on us, though. You know, you, me, Amber, et cetera, people who want to talk about the NBA. We need to educate people more. And I think that sometimes we want to just play the hits, and I get that. But it doesn't mean we can't play the hits and also include a conversation about, you know, Paolo Banchero being a number one overall pick on a team who's the four seed right now in the Eastern Conference. Like, I think that there is a balance you can have, even within a segment, to have that. And I think kind of we're doing it right now, right? So I think there's a way to do that.
Yeah, the Magic are getting robbed from attention. I blame you and Zaslow. I'm leaving myself out of that one. George Sedano, ESPN LA, joining us here on Amber and Ian. Zaslow filling in for Ian. Who's the MVP right now, George, in the NBA?
I mean, it's probably Joker. I mean, he's the best player, you know. Although, so I'm part of that Tim Bontemps straw poll thing. And my last straw poll, I'm trying to remember exactly how I had it. I know I had Joker 1, I had SGA 2, so that's what I was going to get at. Like, I think Shea is just incredible. You know what I mean? Like, and then after that, to me, it just kind of depends, okay? So I think Kawhi should get some love in, like, that top five. You know? I mean, when he's out there, he's been one of the best players in the sport. So I think he absolutely belongs in the conversation in the top five. And then beyond that, you know, it can get a little tricky. You know, maybe Giannis is in that conversation, you know, beyond that. And, you know, I will say this. I think Anthony Edwards can get in the conversation. And I think that if the T-Wolves somehow come out of this thing where they end up with the one seed without Kat, I think that certainly helps his case. You know, and Jason Tatum is probably in that top five somewhere too. But I think Ant is the one guy that can climb into that race depending on how this season shakes out.
George, if the NBA used Wonder Woman's lasso of truth, all right, around Adam Silver and said, is it a good thing if we have the Warriors and Lakers in a play-in game, what will his answer be?
I think that if it's the 9-10, he wouldn't love that. I think he'd much rather than be the 7-8, so that means they both could be in the actual playoffs.
No, I'm talking 9-10.
Yeah, I think he would say he wouldn't take that, despite the one-game bonanza that you would get from a ratings perspective, which, by the way, we've already seen 2 years ago. So I think that he would prefer those teams with the lasso of truth be in the actual playoffs at some point. So I would guess 9-10, he would love that.
The lasso of truth.
Oh, yeah. No lies.
You don't remember the lasso of truth?
No lies.
I do not. I was cool growing up, so I don't remember the
comic
book.
Oh, will you stop?
Stuff. I mean, I'm just kidding.
That is so...
She just won't stop.
Come on.
I mean, for the love.
George Sonato, ESPN LA. Thanks, George.
Thanks, George.
I just made so
many people. All right, guys. Have a great rest of your show.
See ya.
There's so many people right now just listening to the radios.
I mean, when Wonder Woman Diana Prince uses that lasso of truth, you're going to tell her whatever she wants to know.
No idea what you're talking about. Tune into NBA action tomorrow night as the Suns host the Celtics, presented by Indeed. Coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and on the ESPN app. Coming up next here on ESPN Radio, Russell Wilson. He had some meetings. He had some gatherings. We'll get into that next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Zazzo, if I told you, Zazzo filling in tonight for Ian here in Amber and Ian, if I told you, Zazzo, that there was a player in the NFL at the quarterback position who was available for as cheap as you can get for the league minimum, who had been to a Pro Bowl 9 times in his career, who had played
like
the
least of his accomplishments, by the way, but yes,
right, who had played in the league for over a decade, who had a Super Bowl ring, who had been Offensive Rookie of the Year, who had won every award that you can basically, it was Walter Payton Man of the Year, who won all the most prestigious awards in the NFL throughout the course of his decade plus career. And he was available on the cheap at that position. How many teams would you tell me should be interested in that guy?
At least half the teams in the league.
I mean, at least.
At least half the teams in the league. And it's so weird, too. I feel like Russell Wilson, he's as polarizing a player I could ever remember. He really is. For a guy who has done significant winning, he's been to 2 Super Bowls, should have won them both. He's got the 1 Super Bowl victory. And I really don't know what to believe when it comes to Russell Wilson. Like, I wish we would... Maybe there'll be a day we find, maybe there'll be a book written. I don't know. Maybe he'll write an autobiography and we could actually get to the bottom of a lot of the stuff that happened behind the scenes. Because how could it have been so good in Seattle and seemingly so poor? And then the start in Denver, where you would have thought started so good and end seemingly, well, not seemingly, end so poor. And what we see one side of him and... You hear from other guys. I mean, heck, Amber, that Seattle, that Legion of Boom defense, a lot of those guys didn't speak very highly about Russell Wilson. And this was at a time when they were winning, you know? I wish we could get to the bottom of who this guy is behind the scenes. Because I feel like I don't know. There's so much positive out there, but we also hear so much negative. And then it goes to another really weird, I guess, trend in the NFL over the last 4 or 5 years, and Russell Wilson is now part of it this year, where there are starting caliber quarterbacks available. Mm-hmm. And that never used to be the case.
Never.
Quarterbacks, if they were available in the offseason, they were guaranteed backups, or it's, you know, a placeholder type because you're drafting a quarterback in the first round. Starting caliber quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins. these guys, I feel like I'm leaving someone off the list. These guys are available, and seemingly every offseason now over the last 3-4 years, guys like that are available. It's such a weird trend in the NFL that never used to be the case.
It's a trend in the NFL. Now, this obviously isn't the situation with Russell Wilson, but say like a Kirk Cousins, in part because the Kirk Cousins of the world have discovered that, hey, I can let myself age. I can let myself be coming off of major injury. There's still going to be a market for me. I'm still going to get paid big money. And in fact, probably get paid more if I allow myself to get to that point of free agency, of availability. Before, these guys would never let themselves get there. And they would just sign and sign and sign.
And teams would never let them get there.
But I think some of these quarterbacks have realized, like, hey, there's not really a ton of risk for me. Because what the idea before was, well, what if, like, if I don't sign the like if Dak, for example, this season, if I don't sign the extension, then what's going to happen? Is anybody going to want me after this next season? What if I don't play well in a vacuum in a single season there in Dallas? Or what if I get hurt? Then what ends up happening? And the reality is, frankly, nothing. Either of those two scenarios, Dak Prescott is still going to have a market for himself after this season, if he doesn't sign an extension with the Cowboys, because this is just how valued these quarterbacks are. So you're right. It's incredibly rare that we see it now. I feel like it's almost the Tom Brady effect, like when he became available a few years ago. And what's also been weird about
this... Even Peyton Manning was available. Maybe that was like the start of it, because it was like 8 years ago, whatever it was.
Yeah, that's true.
Peyton Manning was available, but at least he was coming off of a neck operation where we didn't really know if he was ever going to be able to play again.
Mm-hmm. Right. And he wasn't, but he still won a Super Bowl, even though...
No, he was really good when he first got to Denver. He was still really good. He was. He was really good.
Well, in the season that he actually won the Super Bowl, not so great, but it doesn't matter. He was able to still get it done. You know, what's funny, though, is when these guys come to market, I feel like the market is smaller than it should be. Because when we talk about these quarterbacks and how important they are, and if you could have a guy with the resume of a Russell Wilson, I mean, near every team in the 32 should be giving them a call, right? Or should be giving his agent a call, like, hey, let's maybe have a little convo, a little talky talk, right? Because you're on a vet min, and Denver's paying for you, so why wouldn't I take a flyer on you? And we know he wants to be a starter in the league, but there's plenty of teams that either need a starter, or like the Giants, who just met with Russell Wilson for an exploratory meeting. Why the heck not? Because you're probably looking to move on from Daniel Jones, and maybe you end up moving on sooner rather than later.
He is as interesting and confusing of a player that I could remember in the NFL. I don't know what his deal is. And
I think it became cool at some point to hate on Russell Wilson.
Like,
he was so like because, I mean, I don't know if people remember, like, he was likable in Seattle for a long time. Like, he was a likable guy. It seemed like he did things the right way for a long time on that team. And they were a likable franchise generally. And it seemed like a good franchise. And they seemed like they knew what they were doing. And they were doing a lot of winning and all that. And then you started getting sort of the narrative changing around him, and is he, you know, look at me, Louie.
It was when that Seattle defense started talking about him.
Right.
That
and then
was
they
like
leaking stuff.
That was like the kiss of death. And
it's weird. It's bizarre. It was because even so, you don't normally see that. Like, you don't see teammates turn on the guy who also has done the winning with you. Right. I mean, there's plenty of, I would imagine in every locker room in this entire country, across the National Football League, there's guys who don't like each other. But if you're doing the winning, you don't normally hear much about it.
And you also add to it the way that it ended in Seattle. Pete Carroll, like, what a turnaround for him, by the way, with his coaching career. But Pete Carroll seems to be, like, universally loved by his players. And while he hasn't really said anything defamatory about Russell Wilson, we all know that there was something there. Something happened, and they chose Pete Carroll over Russell Wilson,
right,
you know?
Like, who was like 70.
Yeah, and who they then 2 years later decided, we're also moving on from you, by the way. Right. But they chose Pete Carroll over Russell Wilson, a quarterback who won the Super Bowl for them. I mean, think about that. When does that happen? The best player, the most important position on the team, wins them the Super Bowl, appears in two of them, and they eventually choose the 70-year-old coach over him, who they then get rid of also 2 years later. Like, he's as interesting and confusing a player I think there is in the NFL right now.
What I think a lot of people don't talk about, though, from a production standpoint with Russell Wilson, is he was great in Seattle until the final year is when his numbers really take a dip. And they had switched OCs on him in that year. For a long time, he had a lot of continuity on that staff in Seattle. So under the new OC there, his numbers take a dip. Then he goes to Denver, and we know what it looked like there under a new regime in year one. Absolutely terrible. Then a new regime comes in year two. It looks better than it did in year one, significantly better than it did in year one, but still obviously apparently not up to Sean Payton's standards moving forward.
Well, yeah, the coach did him no favors. I mean, any chance he had to tell you how poor Russell Wilson was, he tells you.
Well, and he's benching him and he's doing everything else. And I mean, it feels like Sean Payton took that. It's weird because we all said when Sean Payton was considering jobs that if he's taken that job, he must believe in Russell
Wilson.
That's
what I thought.
And it appears he took that job without believing in Russell Wilson.
That's why I don't get it when people say, you know, he was never Sean Payton's guy. Sean Payton never wanted. Sean Payton has the pick of the litter of any job he wants. He chose that one.
Right. That was very weird because you're right. Sean Payton had options.
Could have any job he wanted. Anyone he wanted.
Why sign up for that job if you don't believe in that particular court? But it feels like that's what happened. So here's the thing, though. Russell Wilson, his production has dipped in a three-year span where you could point to changes on staffs. That makes sense why it could have dipped. So could his production, could he improve again, once again, under a Mike Tomlin, perhaps?
They won 9 games last year, and the production he would give you compared to what they got from Kenny Pickett, I feel like it's an improvement.
He's going to throw more than 6 touchdowns. I feel like I could go out on a limb and say that because that's all Kenny Pickett gave you last season. Coming up next here on Amber and Ian, we've got to find out what is a big deal and what is not a big deal. That is next on ESPN Radio.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
8 years ago, Jonathan Zaslow and I had a local show together that started in Miami. He was there many years before me. I then came and crashed the party on his show. And there was this brilliant little segment that he used to do on this radio show. It was called Big Deal, Not a Big Deal. Yeah. And then some years later, I flew away like a bird to national radio here at ESPN.
Bird.
And I stole the idea and took it right
I thought
here
that
with
I
me.
Copyrighted it. I got to check.
Not how it worked. And I took all the credit for it. And I told ESPN that it was my original idea. And they didn't do their homework. So it has been mine forevermore. But now Zaslow has gotten here himself. So he has come to crash the party and try to retake ownership of this segment. Once again, big deal, not a big deal.
It's making headlines.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
But is it a big deal or not a big deal with Amber and Ian?
And James Steele, who also claims that he came up with the segment all on his own.
Yeah, forget everything you just heard there. I came up with that all on my own, and no one helped me. And it is an original idea from me, James Steele.
It really feels like the big deal or not a big deal. Master, you know, is back. That's what it feels
like. Yeah, it's me, and I'm always here. I never leave. All right, let's start off in the NFL here. The Baltimore Ravens delivered a major win-win for the franchise Friday night, signing their sacks leader to a record-setting long-term deal and freeing up much-needed salary cap space just before the start of free agency. The Ravens announced they reached a 4-year deal with defensive tackle Justin Madubuike, who set a career high last season with 13 sacks. The agreement is worth $98 million including $75.5 million in guarantees, with $53.5 million at signing, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. Zazz, big deal, not a big deal, that the Ravens sack leader is back in Baltimore.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's so many numbers you just threw at me there, all right? I'm going to go big deal. He's their sack leader. They managed to keep him. I'm simplifying it for you, all right? He's a good player. They're keeping him. That's a big deal. I mean, all these numbers, salary cap, this, that, dead money. It's too much for me sometimes.
He played in all 17 games. He produced personal bests, career bests in tackles, in sacks, in tackles for losses, in quarterback hits, in forced fumbles. It was a remarkable season for him. They also needed to try to keep this defense together. There was a lot of questions were how they were going to do that and work with the salary cap. Obviously, the salary cap went up. That ends up helping out the Ravens here a little bit. This is still a monster deal. As good of a season as he had, this is a monster deal. This makes him the second highest paid D tackle in the entire NFL. Why is that such a big deal? Frankly, it's not even necessarily for the Baltimore Ravens, although again, it's good for them that they get to keep that defense. But James, it is a big deal for your boy Chris Jones, who's about to try to top that deal, is why it's a big deal.
He gone.
All right. Well, speaking of Chris Jones, he tweeted today. It was just a picture of Andy Reid on top of him after they won their second consecutive Super Bowl. I don't know if you guys knew that that happened in February, where they won back-to-back Super Bowls, the first time that that's happened in over 20 years. Anyway,
here we go. That's enough.
Anyway, he tweeted and it just said KC with a bunch of dots, and it was basically a screenshot of an hour-long phone conversation. And I don't know what this means. I don't know whether to be concerned about it or if we're, you know, just getting to the point where he signs again. I think that McAfee had Rappaport on, and they and Rappaport told him that the conversations were productive and positive. So, Amber, this tweet from Stone Cold Jones on Twitter today, is it a big deal or not a big deal?
I think it's a big deal because it means that they're talking, right? I know you had texted us in the group chat earlier today, James, what does this mean? And I guess when I saw it, my instant reaction was what it means is that they are a talking. And if your team is talking to your best player on defense, to your star, then that's a good thing. It's a bad sign when they're not talking and they're not even working on how to make this thing work. It's going to be a problem for KC, how much money he can demand. Was that, by the way, was that screen grab that he tweeted out, was that before or after this Justin deal with the Ravens?
Ooh,
that was
question.
Before, right?
Yeah, it was before. The Matabike deal happened a little bit before we came on the air today, so.
So that was before. I do wonder again what that means for Chris Jones, because I feel like where this market is at right now, it's going to be hard for Kansas City to be able to get this done. Not that he doesn't want to be there, but just he's going to be worth too much. But nevertheless, I think it's a big deal because it means I guess I took it as like they're trying and they're talking.
I'm going big deal because it means something. I just don't know what it means. I don't have that part of it, but he put it out there for a reason. So is the reason because KC, I'm staying, or KC, peace out? Either one, that's a big deal. I just don't know what it means.
I don't think the Matabike deal, my opinion, means a whole lot, because I think that Chris Jones is going to get more than that no matter what. Like, I don't think that sets the market for it.
It makes him the second highest paid D-tack. Chris Jones is going to want to be the highest.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Right? It's Aaron Donald, and it's Matabike, whose last name I get nervous around, and Chris Jones is falling behind them now. He's obviously going to want to hop those guys.
Yeah, I don't see him. I don't think that any kind of deal that he does was going to be less than what Matabike got. So I don't think that part of it is a big deal, but I don't know. Like,
I don't see how KC can do this.
Positive,
but
and
also
productive.
I don't feel like he tweets this out unless KC is trying to find a way to do this.
They're talking. So
that's
I guess what
that's good. What I took it as. They're talking.
I guess that's good. So Mike Evans, we know, has re-signed with the Bucks, and he talked today about who his quarterback was last year, Baker Mayfield. Here he is.
You know, me and Baker, we play one season together. You know, I feel like we can build on what we did last year. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we get him back. You know, he's a hell of a player. It's on record that I've played with, you know, many quarterbacks throughout my career. So me and Baker, we have a really good connection. And I think he's an elite quarterback.
Zaz, Mike Evans thinks Baker is an elite quarterback. Big deal, not a big deal.
Well, it's not a big deal. He's allowed to think whatever he wants. He's allowed to be wrong. He's not an elite quarterback. You know, but it's not a big deal. Whatever Mike Evans wants to believe, he could believe. I mean,
that's a man who won a Super Bowl with Tom Brady. He knows what an elite quarterback is. That's what he's telling you, Baker's it.
I don't know. It sounds like he doesn't know then. I mean, that's a good point, but it sounds like he doesn't know. So I'm going not a big deal, though. He's allowed to have his own opinion just as well as he's allowed to be wrong.
All right, so taking the step towards elite might have been a step too far. I feel like he's just trying to hype up his guy. But I think that overall it's a big deal because he's trying to hype up his guy, regardless if we believe everything that he's saying or not. The fact that he's all in on Baker and is saying publicly nice things about Baker and essentially campaigning for Baker to remain his quarterback when he is now under contract with the Bucs, when he decided to stay and not test free agency, which is a huge upset for most people because a lot of people said that Mike Evans was leaving and there was no way Tampa was getting this done. He loves Tampa. He has a dream of starting and finishing his career in Tampa Bay. He said, Tampa is my home. He has no reason to leave Tampa Bay. He knows that I live in this Tampa Bay area. I'm not sure what that has to do with anything, but it just makes it cool. So
no
he is
way
here.
He considered that whatsoever.
He is here and he wants Baker to be here. And that's a big deal for a quarterback that is going to have suitors. I mean, there are reports out there. There were some people. I heard Mina Kimes on her podcast saying that the numbers that people were throwing around when she was at the combine of numbers for or at the Pro Bowl or wherever she was, that the numbers people were throwing around for Baker when they were having these conversations.
Really?
Yeah, like were just blowing her mind. So I don't know what. I mean, I'm surprised to hear that. Frankly, I didn't think it was going to be like a craze for Baker Mayfield like that. I did think there would be a market, but I also felt like Baker has a lot of reasons to stay in Tampa where he's had this resurgence of his career, and Mike Evans helps that story.
Jake Paul rose to combat sports fame when he knocked out former NBA player Nate Robinson on the undercard of Mike Tyson's exhibition boxing match with Roy Jones Jr. in 2020. Now Paul, the YouTuber turned prize fighter, and Tyson, the former heavyweight boxing champion, will meet again as opponents in what will be the most polarizing spectacle yet of recent crossover boxing craze. Tyson will face Paul in a boxing match July 20th at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, in the main event of a card that will air on Netflix, officials told ESPN. Amber, big deal, not a big deal. Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson.
This is a stupid deal, but it's...
Wow!
These Paul brothers.
I mean, stupid deal was on the table.
What do you mean?
It's a stupid deal, Zaslow. It's freaking Jake Paul, who I recognize. They were like the originators of YouTubers, weren't they?
They invented YouTube. Yeah.
No, they didn't invent YouTube, but I feel like they were the first like famous YouTubers. I feel like they paved the way for all these other stars that I have no idea who any of them are because I'm far too old. I actually do know who the Paul brothers are. Still don't really understand why they ever were famous, frankly, because I'm too old for that. But I do know that they were famous for doing some stuff, I guess, on YouTube. Now Jake Paul has turned that into a legit fight career, I suppose. But it's a bit of a charade here where he takes on the fights that he takes on and the names that he takes on. He gets a lot of eyeballs and we all watch it anyway.
Mike Tyson ain't no charade. I don't care how old he is, Amber.
But he is at 60. It's a charade because you're fighting a 60-year-old Mike Tyson. Here's the thing, though. Those training videos that Mike Tyson has put out here.
Scary.
In his late 50s. Are terrifying. So even though Jake Paul is, 27 years old or something like that? I mean, he's so much younger than Mike Tyson.
Definitely has old man strength still, Mike Tyson, for sure.
If I was Jake Paul, typically, there's not a 60-year-old who's beating a 27-year-old who's also in good shape and in fighting shape. I mean, Jake Paul is actually a boxer, no matter what we say about him.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
It's Mike Tyson.
This is a big deal, and especially because of the Netflix angle. Netflix is now in the live sports streaming game. Matter of fact, WWE Monday Night Raw is moving to Netflix at the start of 25. And so they are in the sports streaming game, and this is going to get massive viewership because we already know almost, I mean, Does anyone not have Netflix these days? So if you have a Netflix subscription, you're getting this fight. You don't have to pay extra for it. So this is a very big deal.
You think Jake Paul has a shot?
Yeah, I definitely think he has a shot. He's 30 years younger than him. Yes. Yes. Yes.
All right. One more real quick.
The videos of Mike Tyson, though, are legit.
NHL.
But none of us, by the way, none of us think Jake Paul would have had a shot even 10 years ago, right?
No.
So that's why it's a bit of a spectacle.
It's an exhibition.
It's an exhibition.
One more real quick, Zaz.
Yeah.
What was the biggest deal today at the NHL trade deadline?
The Panthers trade for Kyle Okposo. Come on now. The rich get richer. They trade for the Sabres captain. The Panthers are they're trying to get back to the Stanley Cup 2 years in a row now. I love the Florida Panthers so much. That was the biggest deal. Come on.
That was my roar. That was my roar, my panther.
Oh, it's very exciting times here. Very exciting.
Coming up next, yeah, you've already declared them winning the Stanley Cup. Hockey Town USA, Broward County, Florida. Coming up
Sunrise,
next year.
To be exact.
Well, it's still B County.
Yeah.
Coming up next year on Amber and Ian's. Oslo's filling in for Ian tonight. If the Celtics don't win a title this year, what happens to them? Do they go to prison? That's next year on ESPN Radio.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
International Women's Day, Jonathan Zaslow. Zaslow filling in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Amber and Ian presented by Progressive Insurance. It is Women's History Month. It is International Women's Day. Shout out the women in your life. Thank the women in your life.
I know. When we get done here, I'm about to read up on the entire history of women. I'm gonna do a little reading before bed tonight in honor.
That's gonna be your reading.
Yeah. Thanks,
that's
Amber.
Good. I'm very proud of you.
Thanks for being you, Amber.
Deserve it.
Thank you. Thank you, James. What I was going to mention here, though, because obviously there's a lot of, you know, women's and sports stories today, but James's Pittsburgh Penguins, there is a story on ESPN.com about the women of the NHL.
Rough day
and
for the Penguins,
James's,
by the way.
James's Penguins, I wasn't mentioning that part. What I was mentioning is that their senior data scientist is a woman, a very high-ranking woman within that organization, which is pretty cool. And I was reading about the women of the NHL. And all 32 clubs have women in high-ranking departments, basically, in the NHL that range from general managers to scouts to analysts to skating coaches, player development positions. So there are women all across hockey, which is a big deal, obviously, in that sport. Very long time coming and slow and coming, but it is coming. So there you go. I wanted to mention that because it's cool. There's a huge article about a lot of the women in the NHL that I thought was really interesting on ESPN.com. So if you like women, you can read it.
All right.
Go Penguins.
I already told you, though. I'm not going to get to it tonight. I already told you. I'm reading on the history of women once we get off.
The entire history of women.
Yeah.
You're
so
reading
I'm busy tonight.
Of the history. Okay, well, tomorrow night
That one. I will say that the Penguins have been like on the cusp of doing these things. Like they've been more willing to.
They're better off the ice progressive than on the ice.
Right now, for sure, they are. Yeah, I think they hired Amanda Kessel, who's Phil Kessel's sister, to a role in the hockey ops department too. Like they've kind of been leading the way in this. It's a pretty cool thing to have a team who is willing to do that stuff.
All right.
Yeah,
it's
cool for all of these franchises. We talk about it in the NFL. We talk about it in the NBA. We talk about it across sports. So there you go. It's also happening, of course, in the National Hockey League. A lot happening here on Amber and Ian tonight. If you missed anything, you can check out the podcast on the ESPN app. One of the things that we were talking about earlier in the evening is, are the Celtics in a must-win situation? Is it championship or bust for the Boston Celtics?
Do or die.
Do or die. If they don't win a championship, are they all going to prison? But seriously, the conversation feels like a conversation that we've had the last few years for the Boston Celtics. Now, for me, when I define championship or bust, it means that you are going to bust up the team at the end of the season if, in fact, you don't win a championship.
Yeah.
And although we've seen it, in fairness to the Celtics, we have seen, obviously, major changes, and we saw them get rid of Marcus Smart, we saw them bring in Chris Tapps, and we saw the changes that they were willing to make after not winning the title last season. I still have a hard time believing that the core changes much if they don't win a title this season.
I think that they came up short last year, and they made pretty big changes in the offseason. I think if it happens again, and it's even more exacerbated because start to finish this year, they're first in the East, first in the NBA. They're setting records for efficiency offensively that the league has never seen. And if they come up short again, let alone come up short in the Eastern Conference again, I think that's what actually gets them to bust up the combination of Tatum and Brown. I do. And by I don't think they're going to win the NBA championship. I think it is still Denver's championship to lose. I think they are still, but whatever happened last night, either way, I think it is still Denver who's going to win the whole thing. But look, I don't think it's a lock that the Celtics get out of the Eastern Conference. I think the Heat are going to be ready to give it to them again this year. And hey, you could say that I'm biased or whatever, but guess what? We say this about the Celtics every year, and every year we see them run into the Heat, who, now the Heat don't beat them every year. They've beaten them two out of the last three meetings over the last four seasons, last four postseasons, but we know it's going to, this is inevitable. It's going to be a Heat-Celtics matchup. Maybe it's in the second round this year, not in the Eastern Finals. I don't know that Boston's getting out of the East this year. I don't.
Yeah, it feels inevitable, and you and I probably are a little biased as Heat fans, but also because we're Heat fans, we do know that experience intimately, and we understand that that team does save itself for the postseason, and you're seeing it. I mean, you're seeing it here down the stretch that the Heat are becoming a completely different team. And I'm not a huge advocate of the way that the Heat do that because, frankly, as a Heat fan, it makes the regular season far less interesting and far less exciting, and it makes the first half of the regular season hard to even watch, Zaslow, so that's the problem with teams that play the way that the Heat do. But it's also smart because the Heat, a huge superstar that their entire team is built around, is obviously in his mid-30s, and so you need to save yourself for when it's go time. And all these regular season awards that the Celtics are winning right now don't actually mean anything unless they do it in the postseason too. And that's been the problem for them.
Go ahead, have your fun MVP conversations with Jason Tatum if you want. Go set your offensive efficiency records if you want. Postseason, it's a different story. And I think we're headed to the same thing. We're headed toward a big-time clash in the Eastern Conference again. But but Denver, I think it's all about Denver still.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, was on Greeny, and he feels like it's championship or this team getting split up soon.
The only thing that's going to break up this team is finances, because eventually you're going to have to pay Derek White. I mean, he'll be going into the last year of his contract, extension eligible. Do you want to pay him four for 120? The Tatum is supermax eligible this offseason. Five for 304 is the number. The 288 Jaylen Brown contract kicks in this year. Like, the things catch up here. And I've been part of teams where if you're not advancing far enough in the playoffs here, ownership says, well, can we save an extra $100 million if we take a step back and if maybe we're a $50 million team here?
Amber,
you can't even ask me to comment on any of that because I didn't hear anything that was said after he said five for 304.
I didn't either.
It was like the teacher in Peanuts. It was just mumbling. All right, I didn't hear anything that was said after Bobby said five for 304.
Jason Tatum is eligible for a 5-year, $304 million contract.
How mad does that make the NFL player? NFL player must be so angry when he hears things like that.
Oh my God. I kind of take this entire conversation that you and I just had about how the Celtics aren't going to win and Jason Tatum's not going to win the MVP. I kind of take it back. I feel like either way, Jason Tatum's winning. He's winning. Five for 304. Holy moly. Let me borrow five on that. Jason Tatum.